In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Brothers and sisters, there is no one part of Christ's life we can say is the most important. His whole incarnation encompasses His teaching, His example, His words, His empowering human flesh to become one with God, His death, His resurrection, His ascension, and His sending of the Holy Spirit, the promise of the Father, and being with us to this day, and being with us in His flesh, in His body and blood, when we partake of the Eucharist. There is no one thing that you can say is the most pivotal event in Christ's life. His life is the most pivotal event. Everything about Him. So the ascension today is a part of our salvation. A very large part. Really, what good is the resurrection if it does not make us capable of being with God? If Christ was resurrected, but it doesn't affect us, then it's really not the gospel. His resurrection changed human flesh, made human flesh able to be with God. And that proof is in the ascension. Because in His resurrection we can see that He is alive in a transfigured body, a body that can pass through doors, a body that can be wherever He wishes and vanish from sight, a body that no longer needs food or drink, that is eternal. But how can we know that that body will also be like our body? Because of the ascension. Because the Lord ascended into heaven in the flesh, and He exalted human nature so that we could be at the right hand of God also. That's what the ascension teaches. And there are two other things that are prominent in the ascension. One is that the Lord said, if He does not go, the Holy Spirit would not come. So after His resurrection, He was occasionally with His disciples for 40 days. And then He ascended, and after that, 10 days later, the Holy Spirit came. Because the Lord was no longer walking the earth. Of course, He is now within each one of us. And also, the judgment is called to mind. Because when the Lord first came, He came very humbly, a poor man, son of a carpenter, hunted down. A king, but a king who was persecuted and did not have the trappings of a king, the appearance of a king. When He ascended as king. And when He will come again, He will come again in the same manner. In the sky, over the Mount of Olives, and as St. Paul describes, the dead will arise, and then those that are living will join them in the air, and there will be the judgment. And the Lord will no longer look like a persecuted king. He will be the Lord and Master, and everyone will know it. So the ascension brings to mind, really, all these three things. Human nature is deified, and the Holy Spirit is sent. Of course, the Holy Spirit is essential for us to achieve this deification. And also that the judgment will come. This is what's described in the Acts. And that's really our best part of the scripture that describes the ascension in the most detail. Now the services are particularly rich about the ascension. Not only should we stand and worship and hear the hymns, but we should also read them. Because they are really just spectacular. So here are a few. This is from Vespers, the glory of Lord High of Christ. not being separated from the bosom of the Father, O most sweet Jesus, and having lived on earth as a man, thou wast taken up in glory today from the Mount of Olives, and having raised our fallen nature by thy compassion, thou didst seat it together with the Father. That seems pretty clear, doesn't it? Human nature is exalted. Matins has even more descriptive hymns. God, the beginningless, who did exist before all ages and who took man's nature on himself, it's the incarnation, God taking man's nature on himself, and deified it mystically, was taken up on this day. Hence the angels ran before and did indicate him unto the apostles as he rose with great glory to heaven's heights. And as they worshipped him, they cried out and said, glory to be to God who was taken up. And one more. This is particularly meaningful to me because I so often talk to you that we should feel our infirmity. It should be just as obvious to you as the air you breathe, that you're weak. And then without God, you can do nothing. You should feel your sins, feel your infirmity. The world doesn't like this. The world thinks that this is having a bad concept of ourselves, that perhaps we're depressed, perhaps we need medication, perhaps we're too legalistic or obsessed. But we know. We know that we're weak. We know that we are inclined easily towards evil and not so easily towards good. We know that bad habits are easy to keep and good habits are hard to start. We know this about ourselves. So this hymn speaks of that human nature and that God has changed this human nature. So now we can have perfection. Having come down from heavens, from the heavens, having come down from heaven unto the things of earth, O Christ, as God with thyself thou didst resurrect Adam's form, which lay prostrate in the nether holds of Hades' vaults. In thine ascension to the heights, thou didst lead it up into the heavens and didst seat it upon the throne of thy Father, since thou, the friend of man, art merciful. This is the story of our ascension, not just Christ's ascension. He ascended for our sake. He ascended so that our flesh would be changed. Just as he was baptized, so our flesh would be changed. Our baptism and the sending of the Holy Spirit and the Holy Eucharist and all these things are necessary so that the promise can be fulfilled in us. And that is that we would be deified, that we would be with Christ in all things. May God help us to realize this. Deification.